Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh. In this audio lesson, I'll talk about realism. Now, what is realism? See, as a definition, you know, we can define it as the portrayal of life without romanticizing it, without idealizing it, without fantasizing about life, but representing life as it really is. And one important name which, you know, comes to our mind when we read about realism is, you know, the Victorian age, especially the works of George Eliot. However, realism did not start in England. It started in France. It began in the 1830s and then it gathered steam, or it gained steam, in the 1850s. And after France, it went on to influence the literature of almost entire Europe, okay, realism. And as it happens even with other artistic movements, you know, even realism is not limited to literature. You know, it is spread over painting, architecture, and even in theatre. In the field of literature, the name of Balzac is very important. You know, he is regarded as the chief precursor of realism, and even Balzac was influenced by the works of Gustave Courbet. Now, Gustave Courbet was a French painter, and you know, his aesthetic stance in the field of painting influenced Balzac in the field of literature, because ultimately, you know, any art is a form of expression. You know, musicians express their feelings or their opinions through music. Those who are in the field of literature write and express. Those who are in the field of, say, painting, they paint something. But the aesthetic stance or the principles that are behind any artistic production can be similar. So this is what is happening here. You know, Gustave Courbet was a painter, and his works or his aesthetic stance influenced Balzac as well. And earlier I had defined realism. Now let's see what things realism is against. Realism is against classicism. Realism is against romanticism. As I said, that it is against romanticizing things. So it is against romanticism. Realism is also against art for art's sake. And realism is not concerned with anything that is transcendental. So it is against anything unreal, unrealistic, fantastic, improbable, fanciful, something related to dream world. So that means that a novel such as The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells may be written realistically, but it is not an example of realism in art. Okay. Now why? Because this novel, The War of the Worlds, is basically about a conflict between mankind and extraterrestrial race. You know, the people of Mars, though there are no people on Mars, but you know, it has been imagined in this novel that Martians invade Earth. Okay. So this kind of novel is not an example of realism. Another thing related to realism is socialist realism. Now, socialist realism basically means that, you know, the literature that is produced should be committed to a particular ideology or should be for propaganda. And more specifically, it relates to Russian Marxist version of literature, which emphasized that literature needs to serve a particular ideology or the needs of propaganda of a particular state. So highlighting the evils of capitalism and idealizing the life of workers, and also depicting the hardships which capitalists inflict on workers. Okay. So the purpose of such literature should be in conformity with the needs of the state. So this is what socialist realism was. And this was officially supported by the Soviet Union at that time, because Soviet Union no longer exists. It's called Russia now. But as I said, that realism maintains that, you know, art need not be only for moral purpose. It can be, but it need not be. Because see, even representing the lives of workers, even representing the problems which capitalism creates, that can also be regarded as realism. But that is only one part of realism, na? Realism cannot be limited to making caricatures. After this, there is also a related issue of psychological realism. Now, how is psychological realism depicted in literature? One simple formula or one simple method which writers use is stream of consciousness technique, narrative technique. Because only using this, let's say, this is one of the best methods with which, you know, the inner workings of the mind and feelings can be depicted, because that's really how the mind works. At any particular moment in time, you know, if you consider the human mind, there are probably many thoughts that are coming to the human mind. So depicting all of that, writing about all of that, that is also realism, but psychological realism. Okay. And then if we take realism to another extreme, it takes the form of naturalism. Naturalism can be regarded also as a sub variety of realism, but naturalism only stresses the negative aspects of human nature. It concerns with heredity, environment, but it only stresses the negative aspects of human nature. Then after, you know, literature, we can move on to theater. Some of the examples of dramatists who practiced realism are Henrik Ibsen, then Anton Chekhov, Maxim Gorky in Russia, these two. So if you read the works of these dramatists, they normally use everyday speech and they don't try to romanticize or fantasize or idealize about the issue that they are writing about or the issue that they are enacting in their plays. So broadly, this is what realism is. But remember that when you think about realism, just think about the works of George Eliot and Balzac in France, you know, because these are some of the best examples of realism.